Well, hey, take out your notes. I want to share with you kind of a New Year's message that as we stand at the brink of this brand new year, it's like we're 1 week in and you already cheated on your New Year's resolution. How many of you is that true? Okay, good thing you came to church because have I got the message for you, man? No, we do. I have a tough time with New Year's resolutions. You know, I always cheat. And once I get to that breaking point, I have a tough time, like, continuing. So I'm like, man, this I don't need this in my life. And, you know, then the year becomes just like the same as last. So here's what I did. Here's a little tip. Okay, if you have a hard time sticking to it, here's what I've done. I've started my New Year's resolution a week early. So if I have the temptation and cheat, it's not quite official yet. So I work out all the bugs, and now I'm in the new year, and I'm doing good, man. I'm juicing. I'm working out. I feel fit and lean. How do I look? Pretty good? So a little tip for you. But hey, today I want to talk to you about something more than just getting physically fit or feeling good about yourself or attaining a goal that we would maybe call valuable in life. Today I want to talk to you about something much more valuable in the eyes of God. It's something when in consideration, when you look at it through the lens of heaven, when you look at it through the lens of the divine, God would say there's nothing else like it. Imagine if you could live heaven on earth. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, what is heaven on earth? The other day, in fact, yesterday morning, went out to a retreat to speak to our young leaders in our youth ministry under the care of Pastor Micah Simpson. And it was out in Waianae. It was like beautiful out there. Any of you guys live out there, Waianae? Man, it is absolutely beautiful. Like the sun was shining and peeking over the horizon and just gleaming off the morning glass. And the air was cool and crisp. And the water was like just beautiful with the white waves coming in, perfect swell. I was like, man, if heaven is like this, it'll be pretty awesome. But folks, I'm here to tell you, like, heaven is like a million times better. Imagine if you could live heaven on earth. Did you know that? Did you know that that is absolutely possible for people like you and me, like regular people like us? We can live heaven on earth. If not, then Jesus wouldn't have said, pray like this, hallowed be thy name. You know it. Yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that there is a way that God has allowed us to partake in heaven itself, not when we get there, but right now? And today I want to talk to you about people that are headed heavenward that can live heaven on earth right now. That's what we're about. And it's something that actually the Bible says has been already given to us, and all you have to do is receive it. And sometimes we can live as people like, I mean, just absolutely rich, but we never grab a hold of it. We can be rich in our marriages, and God has already given that to you. Rich in with working with your kids and the relationship with your children, with your family members, and with your future that He wants you to step into, but we never attain it. See, the Bible says it this way, that He's already grabbed a hold of you, and all you got to do is receive it. That's what we want to look at today. Well, how in the world can we receive that? How do we live lives coming into this next year as we return, not like afraid or maybe even excited or anticipating or dreading, but how do we enter into this next year heavenward? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do here at New Hope, because there's nothing like it. But here's what it will require, and here it is, a bit of a challenge. It'll require you to see this next year differently. Differently. Here's a statement that's very true. How many of you have a hard time doing what God says? Raise your hand. Me too, included. Absolutely. So here's kind of the secret sauce. Here it is. Ready? This next year, if you are willing to see things that the way that God sees them, then you will be able to do what God says to do. Let me say that again. You might want to write it down if you're taking notes. If you are willing to see things the way that God sees them, then you will have the power to do what God asks you to do. That's what we want to look at. God, it's our prayer that you would give us eyes to see what you're seeing this next year. In 2014, that's what the whole message is about here. It'll require us to see things differently, kind of like the young boy that got a baseball and bat for Christmas and a nice nifty hat. And it was his desire to always have one of these things. So finally, his parents got it for him, and he determined in his heart that he would become the best batter in the whole world. So man, he grabbed that bat and the ball and went out to the nearest field, and with all gusto and everything he had, he looked at that ball, threw it up and shouted, "I'm the greatest batter in the whole world!" And he swings, strike one, man. Okay, he grabbed that thing and looked at the ball as if something was wrong, and with all confidence, he took that thing and he threw it up again, and he shouted, "I'm the greatest batter in the whole world!" To his surprise, man, strike two. Okay, well, he grabbed that thing and looked at the bat like something was wrong with the bat. There's a hole in it or something. Okay, here it is. He threw it up. "I'm the greatest batter in the whole wide world," and with all his might. And strike three. Man, he picked that thing up and he thought to himself, "Man, that pitcher is good. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." We got to see things differently, don't we? Now, here it is. Listen closely. You might be in your first week at the brink of a new year. I'm not sure if you're batters or pitchers. But here's what I do know for absolute sure would be this, that every single one of us have struck out this last year. Every single one of us. And here it is. Whatever you've done in the past or whatever mistakes or however you struck out, Here's a promise that God gives to every single one of us. If you see this next year differently, if you see it through my eyes, I promise I will give you the power and what you need and the grace sufficient to make this next year your best one yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We made it. We made it." Some of us made it staggering over 2014 lines. Some of us are, man, whew, I can't believe I'm even standing here breathing. But just the fact that you're here, sitting in this seat, and you made it, tells us, tells me, and tells you that God loves you enough. And he's saying this, "I'm not done with you yet." That's what he's saying, folks. See, God's best is yet ahead of us. And today we want to look at what the Apostle Paul might share with us. And I love this scripture, especially out of the book of Philippians, because Paul, he's been through just about everything in life, from a lot of success to a lot of failures to suffering and wonderful things in life. And then he's standing kind of at the last run of his life, last season. He's got like one more run left, just a few more years to kind of just take his best shot at life. And he comes to a point in his life and pens this letter to the church and says, "Hey, I figured out the goal of life, guys. I figured it out. It will transform everything. It is so powerful. It will keep you on heaven's course. And I figured out how to stay on course, how to sustain that, and how to live heaven on earth right now." He wants to share that with us today, and I believe it's a word from God to our church here at New Hope. Because I don't know what you've been through. I'm not too sure what you've been through this last year. And some of you may have had a great year. Others of you, honestly, what you went through, no one should have gone through. But here's what I do know, that your best years are yet ahead of you. And God promises that. And that is what God gave up everything for, his only son for. And here's what Paul says. Here's the goal of life. You ready? He says, hey, church, here it is. The goal of life is to know Christ and to know the power and attain the power of his resurrection, even unto the suffering that Jesus went through. What he's saying is, even if I have to suffer like Christ did, even if I have to die like Christ did, to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, okay, this is Happy New Year, Paul. That sounds a little dreadful. Okay, can you kind of perk us up a little bit here? Okay, here it is. Hey, when you truly come into a true knowledge of who Jesus is, and not just knowing about him, but really knowing him, and he make himself known to you in your life and future, in your marriage, single people. How many single people we got in here? Single people. Everybody, when God reveals himself to you and the power of his resurrection, he's saying there is no power like it. There is no better or higher purpose. There is no higher calling to attain and run towards. Even if you have to suffer a bit, even if you got to die to yourself, it is absolutely worth it. That's what Jesus gave his life for. In fact, he set the example. He even suffered for you and me. He went to the cross, but the cross and death couldn't keep him down. Though he went to the tomb for you and me, he rose again. See, even Jesus himself was willing to lay his life on the line for that very purpose. To know him, to know the power of his resurrection. Why is that so important, folks? Well, here it is. This last year, in your lifetime, you may have experienced or are experiencing the atrophy of life. You've maybe even experienced death itself. Maybe there's things in your family or marriage or relationships that are dying or dead, and you need the power of his resurrection. But some would say, but I there's no more time. It's like done. It's gone already. Here's something that the Bible says here. It says, one day to God is like 1,000 years. Like 1,000 years to God is like one day. So some of you say, man, I just got a few more left. Imagine what God can do with just one of your days. Imagine what God can do in your marriage, just one day. If you set your sights on heaven and you are committed to living heaven on earth, why? Because holy is his name. Lord, your will be done in my life. I pray that your kingdom would come in my life, Father. Why? Because you are a holy God and only you can make me whole and holy like you. So, Father, whatever it takes. And that's what Paul is saying. So, okay, Paul, we're human beings. That sounds like a tall order. Where do you even start? He says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. Here's the secret sauce. Let's read at the top of our notes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. See what it says. Ready? Go. Not that I've already attained all of this. Stop there. He's like, hey, guys, it's not like I got there yet. It's not like I'm Superman or anything. I haven't arrived, but keep going. Ready? Go. Or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So it's something that Jesus did. He took hold of you. It's not something that we can plan out and, oh, here would be a great life, man. Now that would just be ideal. It's still natural. See, it's still fleshly. It's not supernatural. It's not heavenly yet. Just yet. So he says, it's not what I can do, but it's what God has already done. Continue. Ready? Go. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, we got to see things differently, in other words, is what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, if you really want to live heaven on earth, you got to see it a little different. Because if you can see the way that God sees, you will do what God says about those things in this next year. But there's always a tension, isn't there? Because There's two contrasting truths that we would face as people that are Christian. And one would be, when we believe in Christ, there is a truth, very true, that when we believe in Him, He has grabbed a hold of us. And we are His. And that is something that is absolutely wonderful. We have attained God's full acceptance. He accepts you. Now, what is kind of the contrasting truth that we wrestle with at times would be this, that when we believe in Him, still, in this lifetime, yet no one lives out the full measure of Christ's goodness and love until we get to heaven. So it's like, okay, God, You accept me, but man, I'm still wrestling with stuff. I'm still like working things out. And that's what Paul says. Yes, that's right. See, because you're accepted, God has given it to you, receive it, but you got to work those things out. And so what he's saying is you got to see it differently. It's not because you're still wrestling with these things, it's the end of the line. No, he's saying you got to wrestle through these things because it's a stepping stone to your success heavenward, is what he's saying. And he's saying, so therefore, and then live up. He's saying, live up this next year, but you got to see it differently. So how do we live up? How do we win this year? How do we live heaven on earth? Here it is. Again, when you see things that the way that God sees them, you will do as God says. I want to give you three powerful truths to start seeing life and seeing this next year how God might see it. And if you're willing to do these things in faith, because it really does take faith when you don't feel like it, when you're wrestling through your emotions, but if you have the faith for it, the Bible says you'll start to see things like God does, and it'll be so powerful that you will grab a hold of the power that God has already given you to accomplish what He's called you to, and it'll change everything about your faith, future, marriage, everything. About working with your kids, you'll see everything differently. So what's the first thing? Well, Paul, coming at the end of his life, he understands a concept that was very critical to seeing how God sees would be this. Would you write in your first bullet, know the truth about time. Know the truth about time. What Paul is saying is, hey, in every season that you kind of come into, know the truth about time. Like when we come into 2014, don't just be nonchalant about the time that we have. Time is something very precious, and it's something that's it's very much a gift that God gives to every single one of us. Time. Know the truth about it. Here's something you might want to write down. Very, very important, especially when it comes to your relationships. Here it is, would be this. The fuel for relationships is something called time. Fuel for your relationships is something called time. Now, a great pastor once said it this way about time. He said, time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. Now, you can make more money, right? But you can't make more time. See, when you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you will never get back, ever. So time is something very precious. Your time is your life. This is why the greatest gift that you can ever give someone is your time. Now, it's not enough to just say, relationships are important to me. We must prove it by investing time in them. Words alone are worthless. Therefore, 1 John 3 says it this way, my children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. Relationships take time and effort, and the best way to spell love with your one another's is T-I-M-E, time. Now, if we could evaluate kind of our time and how we value time, how would we do that? Because whatever you spend your time in is what is most important to you. Is that correct? Whatever you spend your time in is what's most important. So how would you evaluate that? Well, how would you maybe decide on what is the value of, let's say, 1 year? the value of 1 year. Maybe ask a student who failed last semester and has to repeat the whole year over again. He would know. He would know the value of time. What about the value of a month? I know a lot of mothers with premature babies that know the value of just 1 month. They know it very well. What about a week? You know, a general editor at a newspaper that's got a weekly deadline, they got to get something in every single week, they know. Or ask a pastor that has to come up with a significant message every single weekend. They know. Ask them. 1 minute. How would you value that? Well, probably you could ask someone that just missed their flight, just missed the plane or the train, that they were supposed to get to a very important engagement, never to be rescheduled again. How's about a second? One second. Well, I believe that a gold medalist in the Olympics would know the value of just 1 second. Or someone that just missed an accident on the freeway, by seconds, they would know the value of a second. See, whatever we spend our time on is what is most valuable to us, but also what makes time valuable is, here it is, the scarcity and the rarity of time. It's a rare commodity in nowadays. Time is very rare. And we need to know the truth about time, because if not, then we won't be able to see how God sees this next year. Time is very, very precious. Time. Know the truth about time. Now, here's some statistics, and not to be dreary on Happy New Year's, but here it is. An average age of what we will live to is the age of 75. So again, not to be dreary here and not saying, oh my goodness, you're 75, oh my goodness. No, it's not that. But here, just on average. But the good thing is, because you go to New Hope, you're going to live longer, long time. So just keep coming back to church and you're going to be just fine, okay? But on average. So here's something interesting about kind of a worldview or paradigm that how we see life would be this. How many of you are 30 years old and under? Raise your hand. Okay? You can put your hands down. Because you're 30 years old and under, you have a certain worldview of time. It's like, I'm 30 and under, man. I got tons of time. It's like, oh, whatever. You know, just kind of do whatever, live, let live. Ah, it's all good, man. How many of you are 70-year-old and older? Raise your hand. Okay? Now, your value or your perspective or your understanding and knowledge of time is a lot different than those who would be 30 and under, right? Why? Well, because there's just less of it, and the precious commodity of time is so valuable to you. That's why grandmas and grandpas are always turning to their youngins and saying, do something with your life, right? Why? Because time is precious, and it's short. So how do we spend our time if time is really that important to us? Here it is, statistically speaking, the wonderful U.S. of A. that we live in. Here's the statistics on how we spend our time. Are you ready? If you add up all of what we do, 75 years, here's what we do. We spend 3 years of our life on education. If you add it all up, 3 years listening to the teacher. Okay? We spend 5 years in a plane or a train or a car, commuting somewhere, 5 years. Now, we spend another 5 years talking. I don't know if that's true for my little girls and my wife. You know, I'm not too sure which side they are on there. But 7 years eating here in Hawaii, because of potlucks, I think it's pushed up a little bit more. 14 years working. We spend 1 whole year recovering from sickness. 24 whole whopping years snoozing your life away. Sleeping. We spend 3 years reading books and magazines. And 12 big years watching TV. You Netflix junkies, I know who you are. Yeah, interesting on when you look at our breakdown, kind of on average, what we spend our time on, it tells us what's most important. Now let's just say, okay, you know, we're really good Christian people, and we've gone to church like our whole life since we were zero until 75, every single weekend. Now you add all of that up, and it's amazing. It'll blow your mind. You have spent 5.5 months in church. But you guys are so much better because you know why? You went to Sunday school since you were zero, and you went to church from zero all the way to 75. Now you've spent a whole 11 whopping months in church. Wow, pretty amazing, huh? So I say all of that to highlight, number one, the brevity of time. The shortness of time. What it reveals is time is concise. It's very precious. It's fragile, like a vase that at any moment it can break and we could really lose it all. The other thing that it reveals is really our priorities and say, hey, time is something. You have to know the truth about time because if you're willing to take a good hard look at what time really is, then wow, you're going to start to see this next year, how God sees it. Because if we only have so much time and it's that fragile, and really life is not certain, it is quite uncertain, then now you start to see the things that are most important, especially to your God. The things that are most important, and when we get to heaven, like those things will be there, and everything else, probably not. And so you start to see things real clearly. And what is Paul saying? He's saying, hey, when you start to see things like how God sees them, then after a while, it's like not that hard. You're empowered to do what God says. Why? Because I have to? No, because it's so amazing and you want to, you yearn to grab a hold of God's best in your life and there's no other way. And then now we're looking heavenward. And man, we got our sights fixed on heaven. And now we're starting in what Paul would say, we're walking heavenward. So this is what Paul is saying. Hey, it's such a gift, it's such a blessing to have time that God would give to us. And here's a truth of life, kind of the real raw facts would be this, that reality is that we really only have the moment right now. That's all we got, really. Because there's no guarantee that when we walk out those doors, we will live long and prosper. No guarantee. But what is guaranteed is right now. In fact, the Bible says it that way. Let's read together in 2 Corinthians 6:2. See what it says. Ready? Go. Now is the time of God's favor for your life and for mine. Continue. Now is the day of salvation. When? Right now. Hebrews 3:15 says it this way. Ready? Go. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts because life is uncertain and we must take advantage of the time that we have. Why? Because time is a rare commodity. Well, what if you're here today and you say, hey, pastor, I'm sitting here and probably the reason why I came to church today is because honestly, I misstewarded a lot of the time that God gave me. Man, and I just don't know what to do because I don't got much left. And some of you, maybe due to misstewardship in procrastinating or rushing through life or making mistakes along the way, you find yourself full of regrets. And what do you do? Well, here's what Paul would encourage us is this. Would you write in number two? Here's a promise that God wants to give you, and what it will do is help you see through the heart and the love and the eyes of God. Here it is. Would you write it in? Your biggest mistakes are not too big for God's grace. Your biggest mistakes. Anything you've gone through, not too big for God's grace. Now, what does that mean? Because sometimes we can take God's grace and say, okay, well, so does that mean I can just kind of like do whatever I want and then I can go to heaven? No, it's not what he's saying. So what God is saying is this. It's not a free pass to do whatever you want. Here it is. It's a free pass to meet Jesus, the Messiah, and attain and know the power of his resurrection. That's what it is. Where your life will be transformed and never the same. And that's what Paul's saying. It's like, hey man, God's grace is something that you can't grab a hold of and attain on your own. Here it is. It's only something that you can receive from God because it is something that he's given to you. And wherever you are in life, whatever mistakes you've made, it's nothing that you can work for or attain on your own. It is only something that you can receive from your King. That's it. Now, I think what I have a hard time with is this, is another gift that God gave to me and to you would be something called memory. Memory, right? I think back at 2013, all the friends that I've made, wonderful friends, but oh man, all those, you know, guys that didn't treat me too well, you know, the enemies, and or all the good things that happened, but then all the bad things, you know, the life that you did with your loved ones, at the same time, the loss that you experienced with your loved ones. You know, what do you do with that? Well, here's what you want to do with memory. In fact, God designed memory as a gift for you and me for this purpose. Here it is. You might want to write it down. Your memory is something that would spark or initiate your life to attain righteousness. That's what memory is designed for. See, when you remember something, like, oh, wow, Lord, that was so wonderful. Man, thank you, Lord. I always want to be in right relationship with you. And with these people, man, there's no better way to live. Is another memory. Oh, man, that's the guy that cut me off. Remember? And then you see him. Hey, you cut me off, but it's okay. I give you grace. See, memory is always something that will initiate a forward movement only to attain righteousness. That you gotta remember that, because what we can do is memory will then, if not, become more of a curse than something of a blessing. And memory, something we wrestle through. But God says, hey, when you start to see things through my eyes, memory is really a gift that moves us towards and allows for forward momentum towards righteousness. So what do we do if we're standing here and we say, okay, God, I understand time is short. I really do. Because I've been through things like I've lost a loved one this last year. I've seen the news. I've seen what's happening in our society and the world. And man, it really, we got like a breath. I mean, it's just that short. So what do we do? Here it is. Would you read with me in 1 John 1:9? What's our step? You know, what do we do? We made a bunch of mistakes. Okay, God's grace is bigger. What do we do? Here it is. Let's read together. Ready, go. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. Man, anybody need a good cleaning? I know I do, but I wish he said it differently. Confess your sins. Man, that's hard to do. You know, hey, Pastor, I've grown up in a culture, you don't confess, you don't talk about that stuff. You like close it up and push it down, and you just hope it goes away. That's how I was raised. Well, here's something about God's grace. When you start to understand how powerful and how amazing God's grace is, and the beauty of God's grace. You know, when Paul says, even if I got to suffer a little bit, even if I got to die to myself to attain the resurrection from the dead, see, if not, if we have unresolved stuff in our lives, what unresolved sin is, that word sin is to separate. So you start separating from God or one another. That's sin. It's simply just a separation. And so when there's a break in relationship or a mistake, there's a separating. What confession does is it kills that seed of separation. And what it does, it stops the process. Because if not, then there's a separation continually. The proximity grows more and more, like never to return again if you don't do something about it. So here's what the Bible says. Confess your sins because God is just to forgive you. He's given that to you. All you got to do is receive that. And he is faithful to purify you and make it right with him and one another, and the process of reconciliation or restoration starts. And then there's unity. There is wholeness, holy matrimony, as it were. So that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, if you understand how massive this is, then you start to see it through God's eyes, and then it's like, man, now we're heavenward, and then we're getting somewhere, and now this next year, man, is going to be our best year yet. Well, confession, it's a bit tough, and I have to be honest, it's not always easy to do that, but when I saw probably one of the most powerful examples of confession about 5 years ago at a funeral that I did, it was a funeral of a man that went to the church, and just wonderful man, loved God, and his whole like lease on life was to preach to his family, his kids, and they were a rough, rugged bunch of people. But his whole thing was just to love them to Jesus. He wanted his family to experience the love of Jesus so bad. That was his whole life. Every person that got up and said something was that. Same thing over and over. So every time I come in to do a funeral, what I love to do is just get to know the family and know who I'm speaking to. And so I called one of the family members aside and said, hey, tell me who's who. And so I'm looking around, it's like a pretty rugged bunch of people. And so she points to the first group of people. Oh, see all those guys over there? All the tattoos and the ones on the face and everything, and the pit bull chained to the belt, everything. Yeah. You got to watch out for those guys. Oh, those guys trouble. And then, you know, these guys, oh, they don't like those guys. Man, you see the tension? You can cut them with one knife. Unreal, unreal. And then, oh, see that one right there? That lady, you never see her on the news? That's the convict. That's the convict. That's the cousin convict right there. True story, I promise. True story. So now I'm kind of like getting nervous, man, sweaty palms, you know, it's like, wow, you know, what am I going to say to this, with this bunch of people? So, okay, like I always do, Lord, I'm going to talk about just the concision of time, how short we got here. It's like a breath, and how powerful your grace is, and what a shame it would be if we went our whole life and we missed the precious gifts that God has placed right in front of us called people, family. Because when we get to heaven one day, I know Jesus will be there and people will be there. And sometimes we don't do those things too well. So, amen. And we went off to the burial. And at the burial, a lot of times what I like to do is just have the family members share a little bit, maybe one sentence or a word that would describe this person that meant so much to you. And so, you know, I said, hey, you know, keep it short and just one sentence. So anyone want to share? So first hand that went up right away, the convict. Said, I want to share. So it wasn't a word, it was a whole sermon. She started preaching, man. And so she looked at the family and said, hey, I know I did all kind of bad stuff in my life, and I know you guys don't like me, and we haven't talked for years. And I know that. And then she kind of put her focus on her grandfather, and she said, and Papa, everything that you taught me in my life, man, I tried my best to do it, but I failed. I failed you. I failed you. And then she started crying. And then she just started like confessing, please forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. And then she turned to all of her family members, forgive me. Please forgive me, man. I messed up. I threw my life away. Forgive me. By that time, I'm just like crying, man. It was like so powerful. I was like, what do I say after that? I just got up and said, anybody want to get saved? Man, the whole family raised their hand. I mean, I said it a little more eloquently, but the whole family, man, hugs everywhere, hanabata everywhere. It's like, wow. It was such a beautiful picture of God's grace that someone received. And what it taught me that day is when you start to see things the way that God sees them, then now you have the power to start to do what God asks you to do. Another very powerful thing that I saw that day, you might want to write this one down, would be this, is good people don't get to heaven. Forgiven people get to heaven. You know, That lady, she tried her whole life to be good, to live up to some sort of expectation, something in her mind that she thought was like the benchmark. But man, it wasn't until she confessed and asked for forgiveness and made things right with her God and her loved ones. The Bible says, and then your Lord, your Savior is just and faithful to purify you and make that whole and bring you into all righteousness, all rightness, wholeness. Man, I can't tell you the party that went on that day. There was no tension. It was like amazing. See, your greatest mistakes in life aren't bigger than God's grace. And when we start to understand that and see that, then what we start to learn is that here it is. Would you write in the next thing is this? You can't change your past, but Christ can change your future. That's why Paul says, I press on towards the goal. Man, I know my best years are yet ahead of me, so I ain't going to mess around with the stuff that I can't change. Man, I am looking forward, is what he's saying. So I press on heavenward because Christ has grabbed a hold of me. Well, how do we win this year? How do we make this next year like heaven on earth? Here it is. Do like the convict. We should all be a little more like the convict. And here it is. When you're convicted, which you write in your third bullet there, rearrange your life till you can honor your God. Just rearrange your life. Just keep rearranging and rearranging until, Lord, am I seeing it correctly here? Is this how you're seeing my life and future, Lord? You know, in this situation that I'm wrestling through, like, Lord, these decisions that I have that, to me, it's like make or break type stuff. Lord, how do you see these things? What do you say about this stuff? Lord, I need to see it like you. Lord, what do you feel about these things? Lord, what do you feel about my husband? Lord, what do you feel about my wife? I mean, a little dangerous, but what do you feel about my wife? And what do you feel about my husband? Because, oh, Lord, I got to rearrange my life. Am I honoring you? Are you honored? Are you pleased? Because if so, Lord, now I'm starting to see things through your eyes and your perspective. And now, Lord, when it comes to what you've put before me, my future, my life, now I got purpose, because that's the stuff that is not just most matters to you, but that's like the most valuable things in the whole wide world. My faith with you, my spouse, my kids, my family, relationships, and then everything else in that order. Okay, God, I'm going to plan my life according to that. Now what you're doing is you're taking heaven, and then now you're like pulling it down here on earth, and now we're living heaven on earth. And see, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you can live heaven on earth right now. Right now. So, Matthew 6:33 says it this way. Would you read with me? Ready, go. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so it's like, oh, what about this thing or that thing? Hey, don't worry. Just like have it like number one priority, primary would be always this. Whenever you face something, okay, seek first the kingdom of God and what is right in this situation. And God, you'll take care of the rest. So what you're saying is, here's another truth you might want to write down would be this. People that put their life into the trust or into the hands of God, he is now responsible for your life. If you put your life in the trust of God, he's now responsible for your life. I don't know about you. I don't want anyone else responsible for my life than someone that can handle my life. I want my creator and my maker to be the one that would be responsible for the outcome of my life. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, how do we put that into practical things like today, where we can actually do something with that? Here at New Hope, if you love this church, let me encourage you to do this. First of all, write in number one, very practical, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Saturate yourself in 2014, so you're constantly seeing life through the eyes of God, through the heart of God, how he feels about things, what he gets excited about, what he doesn't get excited about. And so you're saturating yourself with that. How do we do that? Well, here at New Hope, we have something called the Life Journal. And simply, it is a journal with a Bible reading plan that you can read through the year with us all together. mommies, daddies, sons and daughters, all of us. And what we do is we say a good benchmark would be about 40 minutes a day or so. If you can't do that, then you can cut it down. But here's what we like to do is read for 20 minutes. It'll take you 20 minutes to read, 20 minutes to write down specifically what God is speaking to you about your life, maybe changes or things that maybe lies that you've been believing about yourself that God doesn't even say that. And you write that down and said, no, that's not me. So you can live differently, see it through his eyes. Then once you do that, then if you're in a group or like a life group is what we call them because it's life journal, so life group, then you share for 20 minutes. Now, here's just a tip, husbands and wives. Wives, how many wives do you want your husbands to be like real honest with you? Do your devotions with them because they got to read God's word and then they got to write something down. They cannot lie before God, so they got to write down the truth and then they got to read it to you. There you go, women. You can pay me later on that one. So the first thing would be saturate yourself in the word of God. You can pick this up at the resource area. And there's many different ways to do that. But basically, it's just saturate yourself with the word of God. It's something really important. Then what do we do right in the next one there? Plan your life according to God's word. So what we've developed here at New Hope and is something pretty cool. Now that you got kind of some directives from God, marching orders from God, now what you do is you put it in the life calendar. And so in our life calendar, there's the daily readings. And you have what is most important to me. You know, the purpose things, the things that are most important. You write those things down. For me, Jesus, Uilani, my wife, my girls, and my new son. He's 8 weeks, by the way. Yeah. Our church, and then everything else. Then you write down what is most or points of obedience, like what is God saying to me today through his word, or maybe what has God said to me like 2 years ago that I never do yet. Okay, God, put that in and I'll do it this month. I promise. Schedule it in so you can prepare yourself. And then to-dos, you know, like, honey, go get some milk at Safeway. Okay, I'll put that down. And then notes. For notes, and then relationships. Maybe God is highlighting a relationship as you're reading his word, and maybe someone that you haven't spoken to for years, and oh man, I gotta put him down and remember, and then okay, take that name and actually put it somewhere in your month so you can call them, hang out with them. So then once you got that, then now your prayer list, now what you're doing is taking everything that's important to you and you're praying about it every single day. What is prayer? Simply thinking deep in the presence of God, that which is most important to you. And what it does is it prepares you, not for just today, but it prepares you for the future. How many of you know that God knows the future? Yeah, and you're praying for things to come. And so what you're doing is you're saying, God, you know my future, so would you plan my future? I'm going to plan my ways, but Lord, you direct my steps because you know what's coming. So then you get prepared for that. So next thing you do is you write in the next bullet is prepare. So you prepare according or prepare yourself according to God's word. So that which is most important, now you start to plan the year. If God's important, put that in. Spend time. If your spouse is important, then every Friday, date night with my wife. Oh, but my kids, you know, they're just nagging at me. Can I get any free time? Okay, well then on your prepare. So at New Hope, start a babysitting ministry for Pastor Aaron's kids. By show of hands, who's willing to do that? Raise your hand. What a camera. Yeah, man, you got to prepare. You got to think smart like Portuguese. You know, we smart like that. So prepare yourself. And what's most important to you? Face-to-face time with your children or whatever it is. Put that stuff in. And then lastly, once you got a purpose that really means a lot to God, that's going to just blow your mind this next year. Here it is. Would you write in the next one there? Is now live with purpose. Like actually live it out. Oh, but it's hard. Too bad. You put it down there. It's important. It's like an appointment with God. You can't mess with God. So now Lord, would you give me the faith? And now would you give me the power of your resurrection, Lord, to, though I don't feel it, would you give me the faith to do what I know would be heavenward with great purpose? Amen. Here's the truth. The kingdom of God is at hand, my friends. Here at New Hope, it's our desire and it's our prayer that we would step into God's absolute best every single day of our lives, that we would be a people of heaven, citizens of heaven, continued on until we get face to face with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Hey, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, some of you in here, you would say, you know, Pastor, honestly, I've been trying hard. And it's been tough. I feel like all my strength's gone. I'm just at my end. And maybe it's because I really haven't been pursuing Jesus. And maybe it's because I've been pursuing the next fix or how to fix the problem or try to control the problem. And hey, you know, I really want to make a commitment to pursue and know my God. Because I realize today that if the Bible is true, if God is for real, that the only way I will be able to receive and attain the power of his resurrection to make life or make alive that which is dead in my life is really to get close to Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian, but man, I've drifted from that. There's a growing proximity between me and my Maker. Lord, would you give me the strength? I'm drawing near to you right now. If that's you, just lift up a hand and say, Lord, that's me. Yeah, take action. Live with purpose. Set your sights strong. You can put your hands down. Hey, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you'd say, you know, Aaron, there's a lot of things in my past that, shucks, I wish I could do over again. Here it is. God knows I need forgiveness. I've tried to be good, but I realize it's more about receiving his forgiveness, something that only he can give me. That's what I want. It is the most eternal decision that you can ever make. And he says, hey, come on home. If that's you this morning, and you've never received Jesus, and you want to do that today, would you just lift a hand and say, Lord, that's me today. Lord, would you receive me because I receive your forgiveness, Lord? Would you forgive me? And Lord, I want to make you my Savior and Lord of my life. Amen. You can put your hands down. Hey, we're going to pray a prayer and get on with our brand new year. If you've said yes to Jesus for the first time, pray this with all your heart, would you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died on the cross for my sins, that I would have life and life everlasting. I can experience heaven right here. Right now, Lord, would you give me your power and your strength? So I say this. You can hear me so that those around me can hear me. And so the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ, he's my Lord. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, that's our heart. Lord, we're excited for this next year. We're going to live with full of purpose, God. We promise our best years are yet ahead of us. Lord, we ask more than anything, Lord, walk with us. In fact, Lord, we plead and we pray, Lord, that you would walk with us because we walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful year.